Actually, if you open up in your Bible to Genesis 12, we'll see what happens. We'll just see what happens. It's kind of funny that I would say that because, you know, the truth is, I stand before you this morning by faith. That's really, every week I stand here by faith. I do that. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be here. If it weren't by faith. If I thought that it was, just me, that I was clever, that, I had decided that I was going to be a pastor and do this thing, and I studied, and now I've, the repository of all spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and now I get to bless you with it, or something like that. That would be a different story, but actually it's not that. It is a story of faith. I'm here because of faith. And I stand here week by week by week because of faith. And the life that God has called me to is a life of faith, and the life that He calls us to is a life of faith. And I believe in divine moments in our lives as individuals and in our life as a church. And this is a divine moment for us as believers in Christ at River West Church. And the divine moment is the faith moment. He's brought us to the faith moment. The reason I know that is because God has led, He's directed us to study the book of Genesis. This is the Lord's direction. I had no question in my mind. I felt very clearly God speak to my heart as a pastor and say, Genesis. Didn't sound like that, but something like that. Genesis is the thing. Why? What's up with that? And the thing that you realize as you get into Genesis is that the focal point of Genesis is the life of a man called Abraham. And Abraham's life is set before us in the book of Genesis like a gem of faith. The story of Abraham's life is the story of faith. The Bible takes us on a sprint, a mad dash, Genesis 1 through 11, just the speed through thousands upon thousands of years of history, all condensed into 11 chapters. It's going super fast, and when it gets now to chapter 12, the next 14 chapters or so are all about Abraham. There's a focal point, and we learn from the New Testament that the life of Abraham is given to us as the ultimate model of what it means to walk by faith with God. That's what his life shows us. What do you associate with Abraham? He's the father of faith in our lives. All right? In fact, keep your finger there in Genesis 12 and just go to Galatians for a minute in Galatians chapter 3. You'll find many such verses. You know, Abraham is very important in the Bible. His name appears 308 times in the Bible, 234 in the Old Testament, 74 in the New Testament. 74 times. That's kind of amazing. There is no other figure from the Old Testament that appears more in the New Testament than Abraham. And when we see his life, it's always, always, always about faith. So here you are in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Did you hear a word repeated in there? Faith, believe, faith, faith, faith. Abraham, the man of faith. He is our model. And here's the divine moment. God is going to teach us to walk by faith. I'm going to ask you to walk by faith, to learn to walk by faith, to put faith into practice in your life. It is amazing what can happen in a life when that life is characterized above all by faith in God, faith in Christ. And the flip side of the coin is when faith is absent, it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy in a life when faith is absent. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that without faith it's impossible to please God. You can't even get started on the journey of faith, of a journey with God without faith. So without faith you cannot please God. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him, have faith in Him, would not perish but have everlasting life. All right, if you turn that around, without faith, the life is perishing. All right? So how fundamental is that, to have faith in Christ? And yet Jesus also told us that if we believed and we asked in His name, that we would we could do anything. We do greater things than he did through faith. So from the beginning to the end, it's all a story about faith. What is the level of your faith? Do you ever arrive? Do you ever get to the point, oh, well, I've got, my faith is 100% every day, all the time. No way. But what would happen if every single individual in this room had the level of their faith and their life of following God in faith elevated, elevated, elevated? Each individual and ourselves as a group, elevated, elevated, elevated in the life and the walk of faith. That's what our goal is. So for the next several weeks, we're going to study Abraham. And as we do, I'm going to ask you to apply it to your life by walking in faith. So you have to get practical. You have to get up and go out of here and live by faith. This week, you have to live by faith. All right? You have to. It's not an option. You have to live by faith. All right? Just like I have to come in here every single week and get up here by faith and imagine a sermon, you know, taking place. It has to happen in my life. Every single week, I've got to live by faith to do what I do. And it's no different from you. You, every week, you have to walk out of here and you have to go to the life has called you to and live it by faith at your job, in your family, in your relationships, in every aspect of your life. You've got to live by faith. But how? If it's so important, how do we do that? And that's what Abraham is going to show us. It's a model for us of faith. So let's look at Genesis chapter 12 now that I've been everywhere else in the Bible. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, I guess I'll just give you the pattern. Let's just spell it out, all right? The pattern. And the pattern is listen, obey, and worship. Listen, obey, and worship. That's the pattern. I'll give it to you right up front because I just want to make sure that you get it, right? It doesn't get lost in everything else I'm going to say. Listen, obey, and worship. That's the pattern. That's the life of faith. It always goes that way. That's the pattern for Abraham. It's the pattern in Genesis 12. It's the pattern in your life. It's the pattern in my life. It never changes. Listen, obey, and worship. That's what we're going to be working on. And so with those three words, let me ask you a couple of questions. Question number one is this. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you in your life? That's question number one. You cannot live a life of faith unless you're listening for the word of God. What is God saying to me? That's key. Faith always begins with the word from God. That's the starting place for faith. It always begins with a word from God. So here's what happens in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1. The Lord had said to Avram, later it's named to be changed to Avraham, Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram or Avram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. The very first thing that happens in the life and the journey of faith is that he listens to the word of God. Faith begins with the word of God to our lives. So here's the number one question for you today. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? There's no more important question for your life than that. What is God showing you? What is God saying to you? Now, here in Christian faith, the presupposition always is this, that God goes first. He's always gone before us. He always starts. He always takes the initiative. Always, always, always. Just as God spoke the world into existence and he just spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, God created. Everything always begins with God. You can never get ahead of God. You can never get out in front of God. We're always going to be responding to God. God goes first, and God speaks to us first. He has something to say to us. So God had said to Avram, leave your country. And he gave him great, amazing promises. The life of faith always begins when we hear the call and the promise of God. What has God called you to and what has God promised? So when I say to you, what is God saying to you? Maybe we can break that down a little bit. What is God saying to you? What is God calling you to do? What is he calling you to in life? And what is God promising you? What are his promises to you in your life? Those are questions we have to ask. You can't live and walk in faith apart from it. Okay, it's all important. What do you believe about the Word of God? What do you think about the Word of God? Key question. There was a point in my life when I began to understand that this book was God's Word to me. Everything began to change dramatically when I began to understand this is the actual Word of the God of the universe, and it's directed to me. It's for me. That's just an amazing thing. You get to that point, you go, really? This is actually the Word of the God of the universe, and it's directed to me. There's promises in here for me. God's plan and purpose is revealed to me. The Savior Jesus Christ, God's Son, is revealed to me in this Word. And when I begin to understand that, something radical happened in my life, and that is faith was born. Faith was born, and I wanted to latch on to this Word. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Faith actually comes by hearing. Right? That's the way that it always begins within our life. That's where the journey of faith actually begins. That's why step number one is to listen. Now, I'm not sure how Abraham heard this Word from God. We're not told. It's hidden in mystery. There's a lot of things I'd like to know. All right. The Lord says to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. I mean, that's pretty precise. That's like dictation, you know. God says, hey, Abram, could you take a note, please? Take a note. Point number one, leave your country. Point number two, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation. Point number three, I mean, it's just boom, 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 boom. I don't know how God gave him this Word, but I got a feeling he really heard it. You know, I mean, I got a feeling that he just, it was loud and clear. Otherwise, he never would have done what he did, because what he did was so radical, so crazy, so extreme, that it had to be based on something. He didn't wake up one day and said, you know, I've got this kind of this inclination. I don't know. I just think, you know, I went to his wife. I don't know. I just kind of feel like we ought to leave. And like go a couple thousand miles away from everything we know into hostile territory and just kind of feel that way. I kind of maybe think God's leading me. No. He heard a word from God. And there's something else that took place that's really, really interesting in the story. And I know Jonathan shared this verse with you last week, but we'll go there again. Acts chapter 7. Where we have the story of the call of Abraham given through Stephen. In Acts 7 and verse 2, Stephen replies and he says, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land that I will show you. The God of glory appeared to him. There's something that took place in his life. And I believe that not only did he hear a directive word from God, but that he saw something of the glory of God. He saw God. Not only did he hear, but he saw God. And here's the pattern that you'll see as we see the life of Abraham, that God shows himself to Abraham. God actually appears to him. You'll see down in Genesis 12 and verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So God shows up and he sees, there's something that he sees of the glory of God, and he sees that glory, and he also hears a word from God, a specific word. Same thing in chapter 15, he has this vision, and in the vision he sees things that symbolize the glory of God, but he also gets a specific word. Those two things always go together, which clarifies for us one of the mistakes that are often made about the nature of faith, and that is faith in faith itself. Faith in faith itself. In other words, we just go, you know, if I just believe enough, great things will happen. I just have to believe. Well, what? Who? Who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Well, I don't know, but if I just believe enough, you know, you got to work it up. Just, I believe. Who do you believe? What do you believe? There was something that happened where Abraham actually saw the glory of God, saw the truth of God, the reality of who God was, and it set his feet in motion. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is God saying to you? I can promise you this. This is true. The first thing that God wants to speak to your heart is about the glory of Jesus Christ. He has a message for you. God has a message for you, and it's the message of Jesus. All right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. Faith begins not when God speaks to you and says, I want you to move to Swaziland, or I want you to go to India and preach to people, or I want you to move to Maui and live on the beach. Okay, faith doesn't begin with a directive word. Faith begins with a word of revelation about who God Himself is. That's where it really begins. Because faith is a response to what we see of God. All right? God is speaking to us. He speaks to us in Christ. Here's a great passage, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. And in verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful description of Jesus? But do you get the context? God has spoken many times, many ways, through prophets. He appeared to Abraham. He's done all these things. But now, the ultimate word from God is actually a word of revelation about Jesus Christ and who He is. What is God telling you about Jesus? See, that's, you have to ask this question. What am I hearing about Jesus? Well, where am I going to hear about Jesus? In the Word. In the Bible. Okay? Why is it that we do this? Why do we keep coming back to the Bible over and over and over again? I say, go read the gospel. You go, I've read the gospel, okay? It's not very long. I've read it. Go read it again. Okay. Go read the story about Jesus walking on the water. I've read the story about Jesus walking on the water. Well, go read the story about Him turning the water into wine. I've read the story. I've heard it 1,000 times. Go read it again. Why? Because John said in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He said there are many other things that Jesus did which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. These things are written, why? So that you will have faith. And it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Your vision of Jesus must be clear. It must be constant. You have to look at Jesus. Peter got out of the boat. He began to walk on the water. And he had his eyes on Jesus. And it was a miracle. And you talk about walking by faith. He's walking on the water to Jesus. And then the Bible says he saw the wind and the waves and he began to sink. Took his eyes off Jesus. His faith began to diminish. Everything in the life of faith is about what we see of God. And it is in Jesus Christ that we see the reality of God. Here's our challenge. It's a divine moment. Riverwise Church, my greatest as a pastor is that this group of people would be a unique people who see the glory of Jesus constantly and clearly. They just see the glory of Jesus. Go, I get it. I see it. I see Jesus. I see Him in the Word. I understand what these stories are about. I meditate on them. I think about them. I pray through them. I trust Him as I see Him as He appears in the Word. This is something that happened in the life of Abraham. He saw the glory of God, and in that he heard promises to him. And those promises had to do with God's master plan, right? He said, get up and leave, go. And he didn't give a lot more detail than that, right? He said, go. And then he began to fill in the promises of his master plan. When you and I believe that we're part of a master plan, our faith level just skyrockets. We're part of a master plan. And Jesus is at the heart of it. And I see Him. And that's exciting and that's encouraging. And as a subset of that, God begins to guide and direct my life in particular directions. So what is it that God is saying to you in your life, at this point in time, your life? There's nothing more important than that. So here are the categories. What is he saying to you about Jesus? About Jesus. What are you seeing of Jesus in your life? The Spirit, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will speak to you of me. He will reveal my glory to you. The Spirit of God wants to speak to you about Jesus. And the more you see, the more your faith will grow. What is he saying to you about Jesus? If you go, well, nothing. I don't know. He's not saying a lot about Jesus to me. Maybe one of the reasons why is because that's not what you're listening for. Maybe you're listening for direction in your life. You just want to know whether to sell the house or not, you know, whether to buy that stock portfolio or not, because you want to make a lot of money, because then you can give a lot to the Lord, you know, whatever. You know, I don't know. But I mean, we're listening for things, you know. We're listening for God to tell us about so-and-so so we can go tell him what God said, you know. And by the way, God told me that you're a jerk. And I really believe that. So we're listening for all these things that are about the dynamics of our life. But the very first thing that God wants to speak to you is about Jesus and his glory. And the more you see of his glory, the more you'll believe and you'll be strengthened in faith. All right? Listen, obey, and worship. Here's what happens in the story of Abraham. Genesis 12, it says in verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. They set out. They took that step of faith in their life. All right? So, first question is, what is God saying to you? The second question is, how are you responding? What step of faith are you taking right now in your life? What step of faith? If God is speaking to you, then you must take a step in your life. You have to take a step. If he's showing you something of Jesus, even that requires a step for you to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, in praise, looking to him. And then through that, also the Lord will call you into his plan. You're beginning to see Jesus. Now Jesus has prepared you for good works in your life. There's a plan, and God will begin to direct you, and that will require a step of faith. So, just a short phrase in the Bible. It says, so Abraham left. So he left. Yeah, so he left. Right? As Jonathan shared last week, huge. Absolutely huge. They always say the step of faith is the hardest. The very first step is the toughest. What is God calling you to in life? What is he showing you? How will you respond to that in your life? You know, last weekend there was a retreat, a marriage conference, the Love and Respect Conference. Those who went there heard the words love and respect several times, over and over again. And it was a great conference. And here's one of the things that I love about the Love and Respect Conference, is that the man who puts it on derived his whole thing from Ephesians chapter 5. And there's a verse there that basically says, at the summary of everything he says about marriage, he says, is husbands, you've got to love your wives, and wives, you've got to respect your husbands. So, you know, this guy, he's reading that and he goes, gosh, that sounds like a good idea. You know, that's simple. That's a good idea. Even more than that, here's what he said. He said, this is the word of God Almighty. It's the word of God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. And he studied psychology and he studied marriage dynamics and family systems and all these things and has his degrees in that, but he'd also been a pastor for many years, and he's reading through the Bible, and a very simple verse says, here's kind of the point, the bottom line of Ephesians 5. He says, husbands, you've got to love your wives, and wives, you've got to respect your husbands. And here's a man who said, this is the Word of God. It's actually the Word of God. Now, if you believe it's the Word of God, there's a couple of things that go along with that, right? You believe it has authority. It has authority. It's more important than anything else. It's God's Word. But the other thing is this, it sets you on the path of faith. So you know what he did? All he did was he said, I'm going to do, my whole thing is going to be about love and respect. There it is. It's right there in Ephesians 5. It's the Word of God. It's true. It has all of God's authority behind it. My program's called Love and Respect. It's great. Guy's got a national conference. He's got books and videos out now. And, you know, it's just having an incredible impact through this thing. Why? Because he heard the Word of God. He said, that is the Word of God. I believe it. And now I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm just going to go out and share this. And amazing things are happening. Now, there was 2,500 people at this thing. There were, I think, 25 couples from our church there. A lot of people heard love and respect. We repeated it many times, love and respect. So it was hammered into us and all of that. And I think a lot of people were kind of excited about that. They said, wow, it's great. It's simple. It's in the Word. It's, you know, I can wrap my head around it. It makes a lot of sense. And so the faith level came up for people. Maybe the spark of hope where there hadn't been any just got elevated a little bit. And that's all great. And then you leave the conference and you go home that week. And the next question is, so number one, that's what you heard. You heard love and respect. God said love and respect. God said husbands love your wives. God said wives respect your husbands. That's the Word of God Almighty. He said that to you. He's speaking to you. This is his Word. It's for you. All right? That's great. Now you walk out during the week, and the next question is, what will you do? What is your response? What steps of obedient faith will you take? Because listening is the beginning of faith, and obedience is the continuation. And without obedience, faith dies. It just dies. You get all fired up. It's the Word of God. It's great. It's His promises. I'm so excited. And you go out and you don't do anything. And it's just... There's a system. There's a cycle. Listen, respond in obedience, and worship. And it's an ongoing cycle that we see in the life of Abraham, and it's God's divine moment for you and I. It's time to listen and obey. What's God saying to you? How will you obey? Now, here's what's really interesting. These three things are dynamic. They go together. What is God saying to you? You need to obey. But if you don't want to obey what God is saying to you, you'll stop listening to Him. You know how that works? So you read the Word and you go, this is God's Word. It's exciting. And you read a part and the part tells you something that is the Word of God. And you don't want to do that. Like, for instance, it says husband loves your wives or wives respect your husband. And you go, well, that's kind of tough for me because I really don't love my wife or I really don't respect my husband. So I'm not going to read that part. I'm not going to read that part anymore. I'm going to read the part about how God loves me. But I'm not going to read the part about how I'm supposed to love my wife or respect my husband. I'm not reading that part anymore. So what do you do is you stop listening to the Word of God because you don't want to obey. And the faith level goes down. And then you find there's more and more parts in the Word that you don't really agree with or you don't like. And so you stop listening to those because you don't want to obey what it says. And the faith level goes down, down, down. And you can't understand why there's no dynamic faith in your life. It's because there's a pattern. You have to listen and respond in obedience, and the faith level goes up. What is God saying to you? How will you respond in obedience to it? Those who listen and obey can do amazing things. They will do amazing things. Miracles will happen. Now, the CADs, we've heard about the CADs, and John CAD's been a missionary pilot for like 30 years in Africa. Amazing guy, amazing pilot. I've known him for 30 years. And one day, he took me out flying in a little plane. It's a little tiny one, the kind with the cloth wings, you know. I mean, it's like fabric on the wings, and it's an overhead wing. And he's in the front, and I'm in the back, you know, of the plane with the stick. And the plane is like this because it has a little wheel on the back, you know, so it's like at this angle. And I'm sitting in the back, and you know, I don't like the situation. I'm a guy, I like to be in control. I don't like this at all. I'm doing it because I'm supposed to be nice to the missionary, you know. So I go out. And he says, I'll take you flying. I'm like, I hate flying. I don't want to go flying. How can I say no? I'll discourage him. Okay, great. I'd love to go flying. I get in the back of this plane. I'm sitting there thinking, are you out of your mind? I can't believe this. This is what you do? You fly in this thing? So I'm in the back, and we go up, and we're flying around, and he says, we're going to land on Table Rock. You know where Table Rock is down in Medford? It's just a dirt. It's like a flat part, you know, plateau with a sheer drop-off on all sides and just a dirt road up there, kind of a road. And he says, we're going to land on that. He goes, I land on places like this all the time. I'm like, good, praise the Lord. Go, John. So we land on this thing, and then he says, we're going to take off now, and you're going to take off. You're going to fly the plane and take it off. And I'm like, nope. I'm not going to fly the plane and take it off. I don't even want to be here. The party's over, and you're out of your mind. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I can't even see. All I see is the back of your head. He says, it doesn't matter. He goes, you're going to take off. He goes, I'll show you how to do it. You know, he's showing me how to use your feet, and you got the stick. And I'm looking at the back of his head. He says, just look out the side and kind of look at the ground. But I said, but I'm going that way. It doesn't matter. Just look out the side. And, you know, so this is terrible. It's a horrible experience in my life. And he says, if you listen to me, if you do everything that I say, we won't get into trouble. Just listen to what I say and do it. Okay. And something amazing will happen. Like, listen to what I say and do it. Isn't that great? And I said, yeah, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of doing this because it's very unnatural, you know. And he said something to me that was great. I'll never forget. He says, there's nothing you can do that is so bad that you can screw it up so bad that I can't fix it, that I can't pull us out of it. He said, don't worry. He goes, no matter what you do, he goes, I can pull us out of it. I'm like, you just don't know me. You just don't get it, you know. There's nothing that you can do is so bad that I can't pull us out of. He said, just listen to what I say and do it. And so I did. And I just did by faith. All right, by faith. And there we went, and boom, we took off, and you know, we made it. We flew off the top of Table Rock, and that was very exciting, and it was great. And I hit the ground, and I said, I will never, ever in my life again do that. But isn't it amazing what you can do if you will listen and obey? And the thing is, yes, I did. I didn't trust myself. I trusted him. I trusted him. He knows what he's doing. He sees what's ahead of us. He has the knowledge that he needs. And I've got his voice in my head because we had those headphone things on. And he's telling me what to do. And as long as I trust him and listen to his voice and do what he says, I'm going to be enabled to do something that I would never, ever do on my own. That's the life of faith. But will you obey? That's what God is doing in your life. He's speaking to your life. Will you listen? Will you obey? Sure, you're afraid. Sure, you went to the conference and you're like, I'm not going to do that because it was great at the conference because 2,500 people were laughing and smiling and singing and it was great and everything. And there was the guy up in front. But then I got home and it was just me and my spouse. I mean, are you joking? I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. This is scary. And God says, but this is the word of God. It's true. And I know what I'm talking about. And this is going to work. I want you to listen and obey no matter what you feel like. You do this and you watch what happens because amazing things will happen. How have you responded in your life? How will you this week? Final part of this cycle is worship. Worship. Establish a pattern of worship. Where is the altar in your life? Where is the altar? Here's what happens. Now in verse 6 it says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. The Canaanites were then in the land. But the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. What do we find in the life of Abram? Now remember something. It's very, very important. This life is highlighted for you. So if I ask you the question, what is God saying to you? One of your answers this week ought to be, well, he's talking to me about faith. He's talking to me about Abraham. Because he is. This is God's word for you. This picture is here so that we can learn by watching Abraham. What does he do? He hears something from God. He takes a step out. He begins to walk by faith. And then he builds an altar. An altar. There is a repeated pattern of worship in his life. Repeated pattern of worship. This is one of the crucial elements of the life of faith. A repeated pattern of worship. He went into a strange foreign place surrounded by people who believed differently than he did. Surrounded by threats. Things that were very stressful for him. And when he got there, he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And what happens at an altar? It is the place of worship. It is the place of once again going back to that vision that we have of who God is. Perhaps at that altar, there he remembered the Lord who had appeared to him. That's what it says. He remembered the Lord who appeared to him, and he thought about that, and he focused on his vision of God at that place to worship the Lord. And that is exactly what happens. In worship, we present ourselves to God, and we bring the presence of God into our immediate circumstances. And that's the repeated pattern. Okay? Present yourself to God and bring God's presence into your immediate circumstances. But you say, how can I do that? Well, you can do it by worship. A repeated pattern of worship. Now, Abraham, he's a smart guy. He's really learning this thing. And this is tough for him. And we're going to see next week that he stumbled. He had some setbacks. But he's also establishing a pattern. And his pattern is to listen, obey, and worship. And he's got this worship part down now to a regular practice where he sets up these altars. And they become for him the reminders, the touch points of this spiritual truth of who God is who had spoken to him. And remembering the promises of God and thanking him and acknowledging him. And this is the nourishing of our faith. If you do not worship regularly, you cannot grow in faith and walk in faith. You can't. So you have to worship. So God bless you for coming on Sunday to worship the Lord. I hope you're here to worship the Lord. But you can't just do it on Sunday. You need to set up that altar. Here's a little recommendation for you. Set up a few altars, right? And you don't have to literally put an altar up. But in your mind, you should have a time and a place where you go to the Lord. You should have one at home. You should have one at work. At work. What is it? It's that break, you know, that 3 o'clock break when everybody else is rushing for the caffeine and the sugar. Maybe you need to go and just take that 5 minute time and you need to go to that altar place. Maybe it's in, you know, in your office or you can go to your car. You can go somewhere. You can just take a minute and have a regular place and you go there and you just present yourself to the Lord and you invite his presence into your situation. That's exactly what Abraham did. That was what nourished and solidified his faith walk in God. That's what you have to do. I mean, we have to do this. It's a divine moment. If we do this, it's amazing what's going to happen within our lives. It's amazing. I want you to notice something about these words. Listen, obey, and worship. They're all relationship words. They're relationship words, right? I didn't say study, analyze, and write a position paper. That's not what Abraham did. He didn't study, analyze, and write a theological paper.
Oh, I believe about God. God is a divine, majestic one in all glory who speaks to us. And
he didn't do that. In fact, you know what's interesting about the story? It's a story. It's beautiful. Is that we learn about a life of faith simply by what Abraham does. By what he does. He does certain things. He listens. He obeys, he worships. That's faith. That's a picture of faith. He listens, he obeys, he worships. And everything that he does is a relationship thing. Relationship. Faith grows in a growing relationship with God. If you worship God, but you don't listen to God, it doesn't work. You can't You just can't do it. If you worship God but you don't obey God, it just doesn't work. You see, all these three go together. They're relationship issues. Faith is about a relationship with God. And Abraham was the friend of God, the Bible says. The friend of God. What a great title. The man of faith, the friend of God, the one who listened and responded and worshiped. That should characterize our lives. And if it does, as we have faith in Jesus Christ, amazing things will happen. Amazing things will happen in and through our lives. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm looking forward to it. So read on. You read through the life of Abraham now, and we're going to learn about this walk of faith. And this week, listen to the Lord. What is he saying to you? Open the Bible and look for Jesus and listen to the Lord in your life. And if you feel like anything is directing you, step out in faith and do that thing. Obey the Lord in your life. And then come back to the place of worship in your life throughout the week. And you watch the faith level grow in your life. It'll be amazing. Let's pray. Father, it's our privilege to come to you in the name of Jesus and to know, Lord, that there's some history that is behind all these things we do, Lord. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Savior Jesus Christ, the God of the Scriptures, Lord, of the eternal plan. Lord, we come to you, and how privileged we are, Lord, to hold in our hand the Word of God and to share with each other the message of Christ, to open our hearts, Lord, to this truth, to feel that this faith is a gift that you give to us, Lord, because you speak to us first and foremost. And now, Lord, would you help us to be the people that obey, that respond, that react to what you say in a positive way, and that we keep listening and pushing out into new places in our life and new experiences, maybe scary, Lord, but with you leading and guiding and speaking, Lord, there's nothing that can be so messed up that you can't pull us out of it, Lord. You can do amazing things. And so help us, Lord. And we pray that through it, through faith, that we'll see amazing things happen in and through our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.